Welcome to The Net Effect, Career Conversations and Connections. Each episode is devoted to bringing interesting guests who offer insights and perspectives on casting one's net on the right side, as Jesus challenged his apostles to do on the Sea of Galilee. Today is episode number 37. I'm Robin Jones, director of the ABF Career Alliance, and this is The Net Effect. This is our special guest, John Gray. And John, we are so happy to have you here today. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin. It's great to be here. And hello from sunny Ohio. Just kidding.
Yeah, right. With, I'm sure, the mountains of snow outside, right?
Oh, not too bad. And I am thinking of my friends in Texas.
Yes, and my family down there. Fortunately, they've weathered the storm fairly well, and we're grateful. But we know there are lots of folks down there that need our love and support and our prayers. So we reach out to all those wonderful people down in Texas. So, John, one of the things that struck me as we were getting ready to get on air was your comment about our quote, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught a thing, but because you say so, we're going to let down the nets." Tell us about your thought about that.
Well, I just liked it because it really brought out present possibilities. Obviously, they'd done all the taking human footsteps or done all the things, worked hard, but hadn't had results. But they were willing to listen, and hey, they were coachable, and they didn't wait forever. They did it now. And so I like that. And the whole concept of net effect, of casting your net on the right side.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I love that. And I think you're right on, spot on. So, opening doors with LinkedIn, how did you get started with LinkedIn?
Well, when I started my career, Robin, as many people that are a bit older, LinkedIn didn't even exist. Yeah. So for a good chunk of my career, it really wasn't a factor at all. Networking was. And those were important things. So it really changed the dynamic of how to reach out to people and, you know, learn more about people from their bios. So one of the things I remember, we'll go to this a little bit later, in the Rice Alliance, we were making a presentation. One of the guys that commented.
That's Rice University, right?
Yes, Rice University in Houston, mm-hmm. Texas. Mm-hmm. And the guy was a member of the Dow Alumni Association for Dow Chemical. And that was a group on LinkedIn. And at that time, if you're a member of a group, you could connect with somebody. So I said, hey, I'd worked for Dow Chemical. I'd moved on. I was an alumni. So that got me interested in networking with my previous company. And then for the businesses that I'm involved in, I just saw opportunities. Hey, if I learn this for myself, these will help the businesses too, with LinkedIn pages.
I love that concept. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that we face today. And you put together this wonderful slide that says restrictions. What do you mean by that?
Well, actually, on that door, in Truth and Advertising, it's the door to Panera Bread. And they'd love to have you come in. The only restriction they have is you got to wear a mask. We're in kind of an unusual time right now. And, you know, there are a lot of roadblocks or obstacles to traditional interviewing. A lot of times it's online. Sometimes it's over the phone. You don't even get a picture. We can't network the same way we used to. There are just a lot of things that are different. You know, I looked at this as an opportunity. Hey, these are doors. You know, how do we get around that? Mm-hmm. Are there some other avenues that can present opportunities right now? Kind of like the disciples when they were fishing.
Right. Well, you know, one of the biggest obstacles is fear, right? So how do you overcome some of these fears that people have in moving forward and trying to break outside of all the suggestions and all the mayhem of constant being barraged by this thing and that thing?
Fear is something, a lot of times it could be just an intimidating job interview, you know, where you got to go in the door and you want to feel relaxed. And I'll share a quick story. When I first interviewed, when I was in college, my professor, Herb Kennedy, many, many people may know him. I got the worst grade I'd ever gotten in college in his class. Business, finance, spring, and tennis and dating didn't go too well. So I had the opportunity to take the class over and did better But when I was preparing for an interview, I was really nervous about it and kept looking at all my inadequacies, or surely they'll see through me. And he said, John, you have everything you need. Mm. And it was a higher thought to that, of just, you know, ideas come from God, and the qualities that we have are available to us right now. So I really appreciated that, and it helped calm my fear. And so, you know, I look at this, the opening doors, it may be fear of connecting with people on LinkedIn, the fear of networking, the fear of reaching out and inviting somebody, you know, how do I do that? Or making a comment on a post that somebody has. So a lot of it is, you know, getting beyond that. And right now there's a lot of fear just based on the pandemic. There are other ways to get around that. And maybe the more you become comfortable with that, you feel a little more confident.
Well, I know that today's going to be a little bit different, because it's going to be a working session. We're actually going to jump into LinkedIn and demonstrate and show you how to make some really good improvements.
Hey, Robin, can I make a real quick point? Because I really wanted to emphasize this regarding fear.
Sure.
I remember sitting in church one time, and maybe somebody made the comment there, never argue your inability. One of the key things about fear is all the suggestions that come to us constantly, they would try to divert our thought away or prevent us from taking action.
It really is evil, isn't it?
We need to do. So I'll just reemphasize that. Never argue your inability.
I love that.
So let's rock and roll.
Yeah. So things that people face in the marketplace today. So when you look at this, you first think, well, I'm too old to do anything. You know, you got gray on your chin and you got this, and you got, but there's also the limitation when you're too young, right? You don't have enough experience, or you don't have this. It's all the you don't have kind of a thing, right?
Well, yeah, that, and we talked about gender bias too, of all the stereotypes that get applied to a lot of different things. You know, those are all forms of limits or things that would try to prevent us from maybe seeing possibilities. And I think part of what I would like to, you know, share with people is really kind of stay in the moment. Don't get distracted by a lot of these labels that would try to, you know, prevent or put obstacles that may not even be there. So, and the other part is, you know, you're never too old to have a great new idea, and you're never too young to have great ideas. And so LinkedIn is a lot about creativity and just having some fun and really seeing what the possibilities are as the platform evolves and adds new capabilities.
I love when we were talking about different examples, you know, in preparation for this, and you brought up Colonel Sanders, of all people. I love the commercials, you know, for Kentucky Fried Chicken. I got a good friend of mine that works there, John Warmack. What about Colonel Sanders? What was a reason enough to bring him in?
Well, I guess living in Ohio, Kentucky Fried Chicken is a kind of a name from down south. He basically reached kind of a older, I think he was in his 60s, didn't like his retirement or social security check, and said, there's got to be something more. So we really looked at, you know, what do I have? In the Bible, it talks about the story, what hast thou in thine house? You know, to stay, taking stock of the things that we have that may be valuable. And for him, it was a recipe for chicken. You know, the rest is kind of history. But we just had a new person, I think it was with startup for dating, the dating app Bumble. Mm-hmm. You know, she's 28 years old and she's now basically a billionaire. So it goes both sides of it.
I seem to remember there's this incredible woman back in the late 1800s, maybe, that decided to start a church and then found an international daily newspaper. Pretty remarkable. What was her name? Mary Baker Eddy. Does that sound right to you?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Probably and this is a lead into that, to new possibilities, to those leaning on the sustaining infinite today. Is big with blessings. She doesn't say tomorrow. She doesn't say maybe in a little while. It's really a present possibility. So we'll take it from there.
In thinking about some of the things that, again, we touched on a little bit earlier with the age bias. What do you mean by inexperienced here? How do we overcome some of this?
Well, it may be another limiting factor. One of the things, and we'll kind of get into this, I think at this point, just kind of take stock of what you've done. A lot of people have difficulty listing their skills. They really don't even know where to start. And oftentimes it's Microsoft Outlook, Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel. They list all the Microsoft. Well, if you're a camp counselor, maybe you got experience in mentoring or leadership or event planning. How do you quantify that? What's your major or a field of study? You include economics in that. You know, business may be a bit general. Inexperience is really, you know, the reason we had it as a door. It's another thing to try to stop things from coming to fruition. It says you're not qualified enough or you don't have the right pedigree. And instead, you know, just looking at things as a fresh new opportunity. So, Robin, what we thought we'd do here is just kind of look at your, one of the ways to kind of, you don't have experience or you don't haven't listed your experiences, just start out with a LinkedIn profile and fill one out if you haven't. And I just at this point would make the offer. If you want ideas or suggestions, connect with me, connect with the Albert Baker Fund for a Career Ally. You'll cover that in a little bit. Right here, you know, have a good headshot picture, emphasis on headshot. It's really important that you make sure that's visible. I've seen this happen numbers of times where people think people can see their picture. They've got a good picture, but it's not available to the public. So when you look at your picture right there, you'll notice right there to the left of Robin's, it says public. So if you click on that, is your mouse hiding? Okay.
Yeah, it hid. So I got it back now.
Yeah. Check that and just say, who are you visible to? When you've got second or third level connections, especially second level connections where you don't have a premium package, just the free package, which most people do from LinkedIn, it's no charge. With somebody, if I'm connected to somebody, you would be able to see them because we're first level connections and they would be second level to you. If they wanted to connect with you, they want to make sure they see your picture. Right. So there you could be visible, not just to your connections, but maybe your network, which covers second or third level, or all LinkedIn members. Now, there may be some reasons that people don't want to be visible to the public, but you really won't build your network as effectively. They've done a lot of research, and I think people are about 11 times more likely to connect with you if you send a request, if they see your picture.
Should I have a picture with me out on the mountaintop, maybe with my shirt off and thinking about pondering the universal ideas of things?
The answer is yes. No, just kidding. No, you know, make it a professional headshot. It can be creative. A friend of mine went to China and he had his picture of him standing next to the Great Wall of China. Well, you can see the Great Wall of China, but you can't see him. So it's important to have kind of an appropriate thing. It can be creative. I've seen a lot of creative. But make sure people can see you, you know, so a headshot, not just a picture, but a headshot is important. And you can load these in easily on the app for Android and iPhones. Mm-hmm. And it's very, you can zoom in, zoom out. So, you know, they give you a lot of capabilities.
So let's talk about the headline. And that's this section that's right here at the very top, where right next to your name. And so it's this area right here.
Yeah, they refer to that as the header, okay? Typically when you fill out a profile, when you list a company you're working for, it'll list your title and the name of the company at the top. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to have that there necessarily. You could have director of the ABF Career Alliance, the Albert Baker Fund, and that's it. But Robin, you're a guy with a lot of talents, you know? You've done a lot of things. What are the different things you bring to the table? You're a board member, career coach, producer. These are some of the other things that you have that if people saw you, some people just say student at the University of California or wherever.
Is that effective? I mean, is that okay?
No, that's okay to have that, but what would you want to do? That doesn't really, student studying what? Student studying political science, that helps. Maybe you're into videographer, or just videos. So you could have videographer, or maybe you're a soloist. you know, you could put different things that different people would see. One of the really important things that is a takeaway for this, if somebody were to read that, would they know what you do, or at least some of what you do, okay? And the other thing is, if you're looking for new opportunities, and you put just looking for new opportunities, how are they supposed to know what types of opportunities you're looking for?
I see that a lot.
Yeah, it's just kind of wasted space. When you could say a videographer looking for contract opportunities in sports. So there's a lot of room for creativity and just capturing the different things that people do, even if it's just a hobby. It could be sports enthusiast, you know, and then you just kind of weigh it, and it's kind of a mix of maybe who you're working for. But it's also, you know, you're fishing. I mean, this is the net effect. So we're out there putting some things on the line that other people might see and take notice of and say, hey, I want to learn a little bit more.
Well, I have a question for you, and I know there's a debate, and I hear different, you know, I hear both sides, and the debate is, should I use this? Should I put my resume? Should it look like a carbon copy of my resume? In other words, should my LinkedIn profile mirror my resume?
I would say no. There's a lot of parts of a resume that could be very important. You know, I look at this as LinkedIn is an opportunity to kind of tell your story. And if you make it too bullets that go on and kind of cram it full, is somebody going to read it? So you've got a limited amount of time that people are viewing something. So you want to make it kind of pop. So the header is one way to do it. Robin, you've got a nice background on your profile that you've added that says ABF Career Resources and some different things. So that makes it interesting, you know, more visual. And, one thing to point out, it took me a while to learn that, but you can only add a background banner on your individual profile on a desktop or a laptop. If you're trying to do that on a smartphone, it doesn't work. At least I'm not aware of that capability. But the other thing, just to scroll down, in the About section, this is probably a good place to cover it. What I would suggest to people, and we talked about this, and I know you've been really busy doing other things, but if you were to read the first three lines of an About section, would you be able to tell what somebody does? Would you be able to maybe get an insight into what they'd like to do? You know, if they can't do that, if you look at that right there, unless they read below the fold, they won't see it. They have to open up to see more. Okay, so that's a really important thing, especially when you're looking for jobs. Or maybe you're interested in opportunities, make sure you've got something that kind of pops and is pretty direct. The other thing that I would suggest to people put these long bios, you know.
One this morning, actually. It's like 6 or 7 paragraphs.
Yeah, it gets a little bit tedious. And then it says Robin Jones was a, board member, career coach,
right?
You know, extraordinaire, and it goes on and on and on. Well, talk in the first person. When you're telling somebody a story, it's like Robin Jones wants to talk about Robin Jones. It's like, right. I want to talk about me. It's like the Toby Keith song. I want to talk about me. It's right. Not Toby Keith wants to talk about Toby Keith. Now, some people still have that as a third person saying, yeah, but somebody, they'll see my bio out there. And some people use it. It's like, I don't know. It's pretty weak. But back to your point about resumes, that's very important. A lot of people leave it there. It's like, what purpose does it serve? And the other thing is that the new featured section actually, and I think we're going to get to that a little bit later, gives you a place to really do some things that kind of, make it pop right now. But
I like this little add profile section that you showed me earlier today.
That's an excellent point. That's kind of ground zero for maneuvering within the individual profile. Mm-hmm. If you said, I don't have a featured section, how would I set it up? Well, then you go to that little featured and then you do a little drop down or if you want to work on a background. But basically, it kind of shows you the different parts of a LinkedIn profile, you know, skills, accomplishments. So are we getting to skills later?
Yeah, let's jump down into skills. So
okay.
Just so everybody knows, but there's a lot
the other,
of
the other thing just to mention. Yeah, yep, you got your education. Now, one thing on education, Robin, is they've now made it so you can list high schools under education.
Oh,
as long as they're set up as a school, it will show up. So, for example, I helped Principia School claim their page and get that set up. So if you go, you're a graduate of, a lot of people list the upper school. That's not going to work. That's what it used to be called. But if you list Principia School, high school diploma, that'll show up there.
Yeah, I don't know if Little Roy City, which is bigger now, would have, you know, a LinkedIn page, but anyway.
Well, it's a long story, but Microsoft was smart, or I should say LinkedIn. They threw a lot of pages out there that are unclaimed, and that's kind of something I'm working on. You have to claim them first. Otherwise, the schools, they don't know they're there, or they don't know how to access to them. So
let's talk about the skills page, John.
Okay.
You know, again, guys, we're trying to really help with some specific points, some specific techniques. We're not trying to build a whole brand new LinkedIn profile. So due to the time constraints that we have, we're trying to move through certain key things that we think that could really help you today.
So one of the things I would point out there, Robin, is this is, you know, what skills look like. You've got a top three skills. Those are going to show before you actually open that up. So those top threes are really important. The other thing you'll notice too is that you have a certain number of endorsements per those skills. If you look at, say, example, leadership shows 43, you'll notice endorsed by two of Robin's colleagues at the Albert Baker Fund. Well, this is a point that I try to make to interns, okay? Make sure you've got a profile set up, connect with some people at the organization you're working with, and then maybe list some of the skills that you would exhibit or have demonstrated while you're there and get them to endorse it. Those are really helpful. You know, people, I don't want to overstate the listing of skills, but I think they're important. They're kind of a quick look at what somebody's done. And you can go in and open these up and look and see just who's endorsed you. Some may be meaningless, but some may be very valuable. So one of the things that I see a lot, Robin, is people, they're in college or they just graduated from college and they struggle with what to list, okay? Well, starting with maybe your major might be good if it's marketing or say public relations, or if you're a petroleum engineer, but list petroleum engineering. Those are good. But also think of the other things you've done that you may not even think about as a skill. A lot of people have participated in sports. Some have played, you know, at various different division levels. I have tennis listed on mine. I consider it a skill. You'd be amazed how many people I'm connected with, a lot of women's soccer players that are professionals. And oftentimes they don't, you know, it's like, do you have soccer coaching listed, or do you have soccer even listed? Or on your whole entire profile, you may say you're a student athlete. You don't even list the sport that you play. Once you list student athlete, people are really kind of curious, did they play football or lacrosse or basketball? So one of the tutorials we talked about was just, okay, you've got your top three skills there, public speaking, leadership, and coaching. It's like, well, let's just hypothetically say marketing is a skill that you wanted to elevate to show in your top three. You have to unpin and just click on that. You're only allowed three top skills, but when you unpin it, it opens it up when you click with something down below, then that'll move it into your top three skills. And I did that on mine, where I kind of made up a skill called LinkedIn sports marketing, but I'm actually using LinkedIn for some sports marketing with some area soccer teams. So it's appropriate. But that's a way that you're able, you know, if you have all Microsoft skills listed and those are the ones that people have historically endorsed, they're going to all move to the top. You go, but I'm a journalism major or something else. That's what I want to show is. So I have, you know, I did that with LinkedIn skills. Everybody goes through progressions. What was important 10, 15 years ago may not be as important now, or you may have a ton of skills, you know, already, and you don't really need more endorsements, but there's one, like maybe Zoom would be one that people could list now, all the people having to be online and become familiar with that capability. I tell people, what about LinkedIn as a skill? Or social networking as a skill, or just networking?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would say, too, if you found a particular job or a specific company or a career pathway that you're trying to get, you know, trying to get an entry in or make new connections in, you might want to find the skills that are valued right at that job or that company. Sure. And then add those to your profile and then begin to get endorsements for that area or areas of skills that you're going to need at the new job. So it really should complement where you're kind of moving and the direction you want to go, don't you think?
Oh yeah, for sure. And there are some simple, easy ways. You know, people wonder, well, how many skills should I have? I think you're allowed like 50. I say, you know, don't have too few, but until you start building a little bit more, don't, you know, go out and list way too many. Now, one really important thing that not everybody runs into this, but I've seen enough where it's a really important thing. You want to make sure that people can endorse your skills. And the way you do that, you know, I'm sure you've seen people's profiles where you see all these things listed, but there's no endorsements. Mm-hmm, and even mm-hmm. when, and I'm saying, well, maybe they just don't have any and I connect with them and I still can't endorse them. So when you go down on that, remember we talked about that edit function, Robert? Go up above.
Right here?
Yeah. Open that up.
Mm-hmm.
And then go adjust endorsement settings. Click on that. This is where, remember, it's just, you got to open up your skills, go to the very bottom, and then adjust the settings. It says, I want to be endorsed. You got to make sure that says yes. Include me in endorsement suggestions to my connections. That, you know, if you don't want to do that, that's all right. Show me suggestions to endorse my connections. Now, I think those are all good things, but at minimum, you should have the top one. I want to be endorsed. Mm-hmm. The other ones are ways to kind of make sure you are endorsed a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things, a lot of people, they say, well, you know, I don't have very many endorsements. How do I get people to endorse me? You know, that's kind of embarrassing and I have to kind of, well, if say you're an intern and you connect with people, that would be a first start. Who can you connect with? Just ask them, you know, are you on LinkedIn? Be great. It's like, well, let's connect. That'd be great. So that's a first start. Then when you go in and you look at their, and I don't know if you can toggle over to mine. Well, we'll just stay here, but look at their endorsements mm-hmm. and maybe just go endorse somebody. You know, basically there's going to be a plus sign. I don't know if you went to my profile or you wanted to stay on yours. But you'll see, pull. Okay, so when you scroll down, we got quite a few mutual connections there, Robin.
I know.
Actually, you know, while you're there, that's a good place to make the point. When you're looking for people to connect with and you look at their profile, it's one of the first things they do. Do we have any mutual connections? If we do, it'll say, you know, a second level connection. But you may just look at that and I can pretty quickly, you know, tell even if I don't know the person, how we might know each other. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're friends from college. maybe from high school, maybe from, you know, the companies that I worked for. So that gives you kind of like a little bit of the lay of the land. Now, if you go to the skills, if you go back to my and scroll down, we'll just open up. See how you only see the first three? Okay. And you can see where anybody wants to endorse me for LinkedIn Sports, feel free to do that. Or LinkedIn, whatever. But I'm more interested in endorsing other people and maybe making them, helping them make look better. So when you click on show more, it opens up the other skills. And so like LinkedIn, let's just, I don't know, any of those trade shows. When you click on that plus sign, it will endorse somebody's skills. You know, you can get into the good, highly skilled. Don't worry about the select relationship. If you work together, that's a great way to do it, but you could just hit submit. Now, when you do that, somebody sees that, you know, I'll see that you endorse my skill. And I'll say, hey, thanks, Robin. And so that's a great way for you guys, you know, to respond back and say, hey, no problem. Any of my skills that, you know, make sense, endorsements are appreciated or something like that. Because, or you might have something specific, but you leave it open so they're not pressured. But usually people return the favor. So that's a great way for somebody new to kind of start building endorsements. And, you know, another way is just to ask, you know, for skills. But hey, could you, you know, would appreciate an endorsement for this skill. You don't do it gratuitously. The other thing is when you see somebody's skills, generally you don't go in and, you know, endorse every one of them. I'm probably sometimes a little more liberal. But, you know, do a couple. Sometimes look down at the bottom of their profile. They may have some real skills that they don't know how to arrange them or haven't figured out to move them to the top. But in reading their profile, you can tell, hey, that's important to what they're doing right now. And they probably really appreciate an endorsement for that skill that may be a little bit obscure.
Well, back to moving forward. So next point, bureaucracy. You know, how do you determine this? What does that mean? What are you suggesting here, John?
Well, I guess a little bit of it is how to cut through the red tape. And so some of the things we talked about, making, you know, having a good headshot, having a good header that really says, here's kind of what I do, and maybe here's what I might like to do, you know, and kind of defines it a little bit. On LinkedIn, you know, you don't have to go to a building inside to meet with somebody for them to see it. There's a lot of ways to be proactive. So it's kind of cutting through red tape. The other thing that we'll segue into is, you know, the hidden job market. That's been mentioned as a question specifically regarding the algorithm. And I'm still trying to figure out exactly how that would apply. LinkedIn has more capabilities now where you can say that you're, you know, looking for work and the types of work you're looking for. But I tend to kind of steer away from something that has that obstructs your picture. So, and, you know, just actually the other thing too, Robin, kind of going back, because we were talking about resumes before. One of the top people that is in executive resume writing, her name is Adrienne Thom. She basically advises not to have your resume just floating out there, you know, in the featured section. There's other things that you can do. So some people may tell you to do that. You could certainly say resume available on request, but you could capture key parts of a resume and put there. And that's a way to kind of like be seen, you know, when a lot of jobs may be hidden. And I think specifically, we were talking about the high number of jobs that come available that are never posted because, you know, people hire from within where they already know somebody that would be a good fit. So the more you're networked and the more you're visible and the more people can kind of get an idea of the things that might be of interest to you, that kind of helps you be less hidden, you know, to people that might be considering somebody that has your skill set.
Well, let's look at a company like Microsoft and talk about maybe how do we break through some of that bureaucracy.
Well, one of the things, you can always follow a company page. So if there's companies you'd like to work for, one way is to follow their page. Another thing is to look, and you can see under that, you've got home, about, post, jobs, life, people. Jobs is a great place to look. You know, what kind of jobs are they posting? If you want to create a job alert, you go in there and just, then you say what kind of job you're looking for. And obviously Microsoft is huge. They've got a lot of jobs. Other companies, maybe not so big. The other thing we were talking about, Robin, is I've just seen a lot of people. I have a lot of connections in oil and gas and different markets, but a lot of people just post job opportunities straight into the main feed. Mm-hmm. So the only way I'm going to see them is if I'm connected to them or somebody I know likes it and I happen to see it. So that's another place where, you know, kind of the hidden job market sometimes surfaces, even though they're not formal posts. So here you could go in and create a job alert. The other thing we talked about, cutting through a bureaucracy, just go back for 1 second. You know, obviously Microsoft is a huge, huge company. But if you go back under people, and you know, there's a lot of small to medium-sized businesses, you can click on people right there and just see who works there. It's, yeah, there you go, over. And then just start scrolling down, keep going. Now you suddenly get all these lists of people that work there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, these could be people, see, we talked about this before. Noelle Walsh shows up as a second level to you. She used to be vice president in logistics for Dow Chemical. That's how I know her. So and we've got one shared connection. So that means she's going to be second level to you, which means you could send her an invitation to connect. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say this is a really important point. When you're sending invitations to connect, take time to read somebody's profile. I know it can be a little intimidating at time, but rather than just say connect, which a lot of people do, and it still works, but you may take a little extra effort and just say, if there's something that you're specifically interested in, or it's just good to write a little bit that indicates you've read their profile, or just something that I'm interested in this and I saw that you've got a background, you know, it would be great to connect. So take a little time maybe to personalize it. One thing that I've been doing recently, Robin, I've been trying when people accept connections, and I was really bad at this for a while because I've got a lot of connections, but just say nice to be connected and put like a smiley face or whatever. Just something that, because it's all about building relationships. It's not about quantity, it's about quality. So anything you can do that adds a little personal touch, you know, I think is good.
Well,
I'll let you talk about life.
Yeah, Royal, you know, you were talking about the hidden job market. And for those of you who don't know, in our Albert Baker Fund Career Alliance website, we have a section I'll touch on here in a second that has wonderful resources. We have an online career course. And in fact, we have a module that's specific to what is the hidden job market. And in fact, what are the two most important facts? One, it's the largest job market there is. That's the hidden job market. Those are those jobs that people don't publish that are out there and that companies are working to hire to. So it is a huge marketplace. And in we also have a book by Don Asher called Cracking the Hidden Job Market. And Don is the gentleman that we've called on to help us with a lot of these kinds of things. In fact, Don produced the online career course for us, Life Launch. And just as a quick note, Don and I are going to be doing a special two-day workshop in May to address these issues like the hidden job market and how do you, what are things that are important to think about today? He travels all over the world and works with schools, universities, been doing it for many, many years. He's a wonderful guy. But moving forward, I wanted to kind of get to this slide as soon as we can, John, and talk about opportunity. And I love this quote, for we're newcomers at this time. And I love that idea of being a newcomer and thinking about the newness and the freshness when one's talking about their LinkedIn profile and some of these great ideas that you're sharing with us today.
Well, as I mentioned before, I think every day brings new possibilities. And it's really important to kind of stay in the moment, really see what's happening, and tune out a lot of the noise. It's kind of like, tuning into a radio station, all the static that would try to divert you or prevent you from taking action. But I think there are just so many ways that LinkedIn allows you to be proactive. And I've looked at, one of the things that some people they have a lot of misconceptions about LinkedIn. They think it's just for finding a job. That's true. I mean, but it's also about one's interest, ways to expand networks. It's about a lot of things. And so, if you just kind of keep a fresh thought about it, it's about listening for ideas of who you might connect with. I always start, if we were to sit down, Robin, and we sit, if you were to come to me and say, I'm looking at some new things and I want to use LinkedIn, I would say, well, what do you want to do? I don't try to cram a certain, formula approach, but what do you want to do? And then here's how LinkedIn might help. And so if you thought about the featured section as a way to be more visual, interestingly enough, for opportunity, if you're a real estate agent, you got all these properties, you don't want to annoy people with tons of, listings in your feed, but maybe you put it in the featured section. And that way, people that want, or you have a LinkedIn page. And that's another way to create opportunities. I would urge everybody that is an entrepreneur that has their own business, set up a LinkedIn page and then start using it as a place to put content, to reach out to people, to grow. So I just looked at it from my businesses. I'll give you an example of using LinkedIn to create opportunity. I have another entity called Right Size Fitness, still kind of in its infancy. And so I use LinkedIn basically to connect with the director of recreation for the Cincinnati Recreation Commission. And, helped him with that. And then I've been helping him with their page. And so kind of building that. But now I've kind of built a relationship locally when I used to live in Texas that I didn't have. And then we're helping them create content. Well, that's a whole network that didn't exist. And not only that, I'm an admin for the page, so I get to see who follows it now. Two very important things that if people aren't aware, you can now see who's following your page if you're an admin, and you can also invite people if you're an admin. And I think it's probably a great opportunity, Robin, to thank the great response that we've had for a lot of invitations. So if people have seen me inviting them, well, I'm an admin on the page, so I can see. And I just said, hey, I've got a lot of people that in my network that would be interested, that could support. And I know you've done a lot of the same. So a big thanks for people that are following the page. If you're not, please do on LinkedIn. You just click follow. And anyway, I just wanted to, I'm not sure exactly where we are right now.
Well, so. I wanted to cover this feature because we mentioned this feature section earlier and how you, as you can see here, my last guest was Alex Cook, musician and Christian, and so artist and Christian musician. So if you decide that you want to add a feature, what do you recommend here?
Well, it gives you a bunch of options. You could, like, if you made a post, you could take that post and load it up. If there's an article that was published on LinkedIn, you could do that. And you can write articles and publish those on LinkedIn. I've done some of that, not as much recently. And then you can take things like you could take the LinkedIn page for the Albert Baker Foundation and put that there so they would see it there. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, I was really interested with Alex, with his artwork. Mm-hmm. He could put paintings or maybe posts that he had that had a picture of his painting, and put it right there. A great thing for an artist. If it's a real estate property, you know, if you have a listing, you can link out to the internet. Now, you didn't used to be able to do that. So part of it is trial and error. Most of the times it works, but if it doesn't work, maybe it's just not picking up. But just make sure, like, you've got really good visuals on all those. So it looks good.
So one of the things that I mentioned earlier is our ABF Career Alliance website, where, as you can see on this page, the tools and tips section is where Life Launch lives, and a wonderful features and wonderful different benefits that are there. That you can find. So it's a great place to find some wonderful career development resources. It's also a wonderful place to find career allies like John here that can help with, you know, making those important connections and finding those important hidden job opportunities.
I put it on my profile, Robin. It's under volunteering. I'm a Albert Baker Fund career ally, and I encourage other people. And by the way, you've got such a great network of people that are willing to help. And I had help. There was a gentleman that recruited on the campus at Principia College, Art Link. And he ended up hiring a number of people to work for Dow Chemical. So I was one of several in a line of people that worked there. He was like my career ally. He went to the college and I didn't fully appreciate it. It didn't get me the job, but it got me the opportunity to interview. Mm-hmm. And all things equal, that's that was a pretty good thing. So really take advantage of your network. And one of the best networks you've got is the ABF Career Alliance. You know, Robin, you and many others that are there. So I'd highly encourage people to go through that. And if you've got a profile, you want somebody to look at it and just bounce some ideas, let's connect. I'd be happy to do that. Connect with the Albert Baker Career Alliance as well.
Well, you mentioned some ideas and this one kind of stood out to me when we were talking about your experience at Rice. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we were launching a very high octane booster, and we're making a presentation at the through the Rice Alliance. They have a number of different things. I've said the Jesse Jones School of Business. In preparation for that, I was writing the thing. I wasn't going to be the one delivering it, but I wanted to kind of prepare. And they had some people that would come in and listen to you, kind of like their allies. And so there were three guys in there and then one kind of moderator, and probably wasn't as prepared as I should have been. But I had no idea how smart these guys are going to be too. You know, I thought, well, okay, these are business guys. Maybe they're retired or something. Well, when we got into the discussion, they were asking, one guy in particular was asking questions about de-icing fluid in military and jet fuel. And I thought, how does he even know to ask that question? That's a really detailed question. And of course, I'm a liberal arts major. Long story short, we traded business cards immediately afterwards. And there were two other guys that kind of joined the meeting. They were the group afterwards. I went and immediately looked on LinkedIn, found all of them. And by the next day, I'd connected with six guys who are all really, really smart. And then when I started reading through their LinkedIn profiles, Robin, I could see, well, that's how he knows to ask about jet fuel. because he used to be a commercial manager for BP. Where another guy, I think his background, he was head of the Shell Technology Center. And I'm thinking, oh, geez, you know, these are really smart guys. Take time to look at other people's profiles and just read a little bit. One of the things in working for a technical or chemical company starting out, it was really important for me to know what somebody else knows. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm ever going to be a petroleum engineer or a chemical engineer, but I can know chemical engineers and I can know who they know and I can know where they went to school, things sure. like that. And those are great for networking.
Well, as John mentioned, he is a career ally and you can certainly reach out to John through the ABF Career Alliance. You can email me directly and obviously you can contact John as well. So one last thing before we get into Q&A, and I asked John, I said, okay, tell me your favorite book. What would you suggest to folks out there that could really help people kind of overcome some of those fears, some of those inhibitions that we described earlier? And John came up with Harvey Mackey.
Well, Harvey McKay.
McKay, right.
Wrote Swim with the Sharks. He's had a lot of bestsellers. Yep. And, you know, I thought about it. He's like Mr. Networking before all this technology was there, which is actually partially true because he created software called Sharkware that was like Act. It was also popular. But this guy, if you want to learn how to network, it takes practice. You know, it's not always easy. You have to get out of your comfort zone sometimes. But he writes in his book, the same book, he said, like any new behavior, the more you practice the skills of networking, the easier it gets. And I would say just a little bit of getting on LinkedIn, checking it out, just use it a little bit. It's a work in progress and you'll get more comfortable with it. And it could be really a tremendous tool.
John, who are some of the people that come to mind who are using LinkedIn in creative ways today?
Well, one of them is Shay Rowbottom. She's got Rowbottom Marketing. She's kind of a LinkedIn sensation. And it really is her use of video that she's gotten. I think she has over 200,000. I don't know. It's growing exponentially. But she kind of developed her own style and really kind of introduced, we didn't really talk about it, but LinkedIn, there's all kinds of opportunity for the use of video. Short clips, nothing too long, but just as a part of, and they've incorporated a lot more technology. Bruce Johnston is another guy. I'll put some of these guys' names maybe on JSIN. That's my page for Jumpstart Innovation. I subscribe to some letters. Jeff Young is another guy up in Columbus. There are a lot of people out there. Depending on what you'd like to learn about, it's not all LinkedIn, but there's a lot of things that people, especially in the Adrian Tom was another one that I mentioned. You just follow her. You're going to get an education almost every time she posts something. Mm-hmm, she's just mm-hmm. really about sharing and giving helpful tips. Mm-hmm. So those are the ones that kind of come to mind. Oh, you know, the other one that I just seen recently. They're based here in Cincinnati. They're called the Killer Brownie Company.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of them.
If you look at, man, they got the best mouthwatering pictures of brownies you ever seen. I show them to my mom and she's going, oh, that looks good.
But Heather Heather has a similar question that kind of relates to that. How do you go about telling your story on LinkedIn and what kind of things should you include in your story to make it interesting?
You know, part of that goes to the about section. I think that's probably where a lot of the story comes into play. You're just kind of creating your own narrative. Two things that I've seen, and it kind of goes both ways. One is where people jump right in and they talk all about their company. It's like, you know, but I kind of like to learn a little bit about you, you know, or it's just all business. Well, that's kind of boring. Or they talk all about themselves. There's a way to kind of blend that together. Just a short narrative. How did you get where you are? You know, bring people where you are right now, because you're starting where you are right now. You don't want to leave them in the past. It's just like, boom. If you think about it as a little bit of an elevator pitch, you know, here's what I'm trying to do right now. I've done this, this, and this, and that have kind of helped. These are the things that I'd like to do.
I think it also might be helpful too, if you write something up, and share it with a few people that, you know, you feel confident and close to being able to talk to you about those kinds of things. Because, you know, whether you're a student or a recent graduate, or you're someone that's, you know, been in a certain career track, or, you know, haven't had a job in a while, I think all of those things are, have similar characteristics, but write it up and then test it out on others and see if they, think it's interesting. Find out if that describes you well. And if, you know, I was working with my daughter on a resume and kind of a similar vein. And I saw some things that were missing, and I said, well, why haven't you mentioned this? And why haven't you mentioned these things? And, you know, sometimes we forget or we overlook really key and important things that are, could be really helpful to others, because it's sometimes a little hard to talk about yourself.
Yeah. You know, I'm seeing in the comments here that the joining groups, that's another way. You know, I actually set up a group called the National Women's Soccer League Fans Group. So if you're interested in joining that and supporting the NWSL, this guy had set up a group and he had one LinkedIn connection. I'm thinking, so I requested to join, never heard back from it. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go around that and set up my own group. It's an interesting collection of people. A lot of them are young women or you know, men that are wanting to be sports professionals, you know, in sports marketing or sports administration. And so it's a great way, you know, we've got now three chief marketing officers for Major League Soccer clubs. And we have the league commissioner for the NWSL that's a member. But it's kind of a cool way. So groups, as somebody mentioned, that's a good way to kind of find some things and, you know, look at other people's profiles. You can look and see what groups do they belong to. Mm-hmm. You know, if you see somebody that you might be interested, read a little bit. One of the other things I'd mentioned too, if you kind of want to have a sense of what somebody's doing, what they're kind of interested, you can read their activities, and there's a way to kind of look into recent activities. Do they have any recent posts? Like if you would have to look at mine, you're not going to see it on yours, but if you looked at mine. So under activity, you just click on see all activity. Mm-hmm. This is really, so you see, you know, I put America Moves on trucks. Well, I have an interest in trucking, but you click on see all activity. And then this is really key. Okay. You're probably going to become really bored by all the things I liked. But what are my recent posts? Those are things that are probably important to me or to whoever the individual is. So if you click on posts, there's one that I posted in Jumpstart Innovation, which that's really a great thing about 10 tips to boost your LinkedIn presence in 2021. Check it out. Another thing would be, have I written any articles? You can, if you click on articles, it will up above, it'll show. Interestingly enough, when I did a little advertising on Facebook, just kind of fooling around with that. Mm-hmm. I had the US, Canada, and India. And it went viral on India, because you can imagine how many people are in India. But it wasn't about LinkedIn. I figured out they just really liked the daffodils. So anyway, it's the only time I've really gone viral. But if you've got good quality content, you know, just speak to the things that you're comfortable with. And maybe try doing a post. I try to like people's content when they do something, you know, and support that. And some other people will too.
Well, another question that John asked is LinkedIn a good resource for trade schools and trade jobs as well? If so, is anything different? Good question.
Tell me that again. I think so. Well, one of the things that I mentioned about high schools before, if you're in a trade school, find out and see if that trade school has a school designation so you can list it under your education. There's a lot of times that people try to put education that are really certifications that won't fit under education because it's not designated as a school. But if you have a trade school, absolutely. You know, a lot of it is applying a little creativity. If you're learning a certain trade, and you know different businesses that might have need of that, you could start connecting with people with those businesses. You know, some areas it's more useful than others. But, you know, like the, I mentioned before, the Killer Brownie Company, because they're really a B2C, you know, business to consumer, almost is probably way more than they are a business to business. And yet the way they're doing that really introduces visually a lot of people to their product, you know, and they have some fun with it. I don't know that I answered the trade schools. That the one thing I would say about trade schools is absolutely list the skills that you have there. What are they? You know, and you can, you've got other people you're studying with, get them to endorse it. People that you've done work with, you're going to have clients. You could ask them, hey, are you on LinkedIn? You know,
so that's a great answer. I think the answer to, you know, trade jobs, yes, you know, it depends on the company, but many companies are utilizing LinkedIn. I mean, LinkedIn is the number one source of recruiting for, you know, for employers. So, you know, John, absolutely. LinkedIn is a wonderful source for that.
Well, I just saw somebody trying to get a bunch of truckers with commercial driver's licenses for frac sand out in West Texas. You know, we need 12 drivers. That's not really trade school per se, but it, you know, if you've got a commercial driver's license, or if anybody has any specific question that they're, you know, don't hesitate to just send me an invite and say, you know, I saw you on the ABF Career Alliance and I had a question. I would say this much, try to fill out a profile as much as you can, because people are more likely to connect with you. The more you put there, I'm not saying in volume, but just filling it out, making it a little more meaty, the more somebody can help you. You know, it's like, well, okay, that's not perfect, but what about this? But if you don't list any skills, if you don't have anything in the about section, or you don't list jobs you've had, I can pretty well tell if you list things under experience, what your skills might be, or things to at least think about.
Well, and I think one of the comments you made early on when we were first talking about this, and you said in order to benefit with LinkedIn, you have to log on to LinkedIn, right?
Log in.
Yeah.
Yeah. To benefit from LinkedIn, to take advantage of LinkedIn, you have to log in.
Right.
You know, so, and that's where the app really helps.
Yeah. Well, we've gone over our time limit, but we had some really good questions and I didn't want to stop the flow. And we're just kind of touching on it again, key points, key topics. There's an awful lot to LinkedIn. We understand that, but hopefully you've gotten some good information, some good points. If you're interested in the Albert Baker Fund, which we had a question, go to the albertbakerfund.org website. You can find some wonderful insight, some wonderful people that they're, and what we're doing across the world at the Albert Baker Fund. If you know students who have a need and are in school, in college, graduate school, let them know about the Albert Baker Fund and ask them to go to the albertbakerfund.org and apply for the Brotherly Love Scholarships. We are accepting those applications. And the team at the Albert Baker Fund, Jeffrey, Ann, Carol, Jill, Joe, are willing to step forward and help in any way they can. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You'll find some wonderful information. And remember to cast your net on the right side. And John, you gave us some wonderful ideas today about casting our net on the right side. And it's just been a remarkable and wonderful session. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, Robin. It's been a pleasure.